Well, it's certainly nice for us all to get together and communicate with each other about our personal lives. I would hope we could sit around and talk about some of the truths we're learning this weekend, if we can remember that. That's sort of what the purpose is, since we don't get together very often. And just hoping that squeaks out here and there a little bit, right? Because that means we're listening. So, what's the whole theme about this weekend?
We are not our
bodies. Liz? You looking at your notes? What's the whole theme about? Is Connie the only one listening?
Connie said it well.
Okay, good. All right, I didn't hear any amens or anything. I'm just trying to wake you up, okay? Right? There isn't anyone who's walked upon this earth that's not thought that they're not their body. And it's, although there is a body present, there's a body functioning, we don't own that. And this is what Buddha was talking about when we started yesterday, when he said that whatever can be seen, heard, or touched is unreal. Whatever you cling to as permanent is unreal. Whatever the mind can think of is unreal. Now, everyone's probably going to argue with all of that. The thing is it's the answer to all of the problems that we see. If all of this going on around us isn't the substance of reality, if it's not coming out from the substance of reality, it makes sense, finally. Something finally makes sense. I don't have to run around and try to correct the illusion. I don't have to try to upgrade the illusion. I don't have to try to improve on the illusion. Why? Because it's an illusion. The world is a byproduct of our determination and focus of what's right or wrong in our world. And if you want to know the definition of your world, just look at your Facebook wall. It won't take too long. I don't go around looking on everybody's Facebook wall, but when I do, I say, well, these people don't understand what I'm talking about, because people are complaining and trying to improve and trying to correct and not understanding who we really are. And so it makes sense, you know, that's going on. It all makes sense. But it's not reality. And that's why, to me, this is the most profound statement everyone's made. I mean, he trumps every Bible and every Jesus and every God and every Moses there is when he says that, because he puts everything into one statement and said, there's nothing that the five senses communicates with you that's giving you a picture of reality. Now, that's a little softer version of it. It's still true, but it's not quite as shocking. The picture your mind, through your body, is painting of what's going on in your world is not reality. It's not eternal. It's not who you are. And so when we keep talking about nothingness all the time, and you're nothing, and we're nothing. Well, I really want to hone in on that today, because unless you get that pinned down where it cries uncle and gives up, it always thinks the ego is something. And so I understand why the non-duality teachers keep doubling and tripling down on nothing all the time. But the problem is that's not really the truth. It's just we don't know who we are. And today I'm going to give you a real clear definition of that. It's not that we've never talked about it before, but for some reason, because I'm getting ready for the meetings, right? I'm thinking, and I go through this every time. I don't think I want to do this anymore. I've said enough. I mean, I said everything there is to say last time. What more could there be? And I'm not really, I've got plenty of things I can do, okay? Believe me. I got lots of stuff I could be doing. But this is what I love doing most. I love reading and focusing in on this kind of truth. I can't pull myself away of it. But it's not because I've wanted to teach it. It's just happened. It just started happening all on its own. And all of a sudden, I'm up here blabbing away because of Tony DeNartog. And it made me real nervous about it all. And here we are, 10 years later almost, to the day, poof, 10 years have went by. And here we are. And so now, what we're sharing today, to me, is a culmination of reality that the whole world is asleep in. Well, who's the whole world? It includes everybody sitting in this room. Huh? Until you realize you're asleep, how could you ever wake up? But the ego goes around, oh, I'm not asleep. They're asleep. I'm not asleep. Well, this isn't about anybody else outside of you. This is about you. And I'm saying you're asleep. Hello? Because it ain't going to do you any good. We might as well just go home if we're not all going to admit we're asleep. And that's what Buddha's talking about. He's defining the sleepiness. He's telling us where it is that we're asleep. And we're looking to the world for answers. We're looking to the appearances for answers. We're trying to get stuff to line up because of our desire to be God. Why do we want to try to control? Why do we desire to be God? Because we're afraid. At some level, there's fear. Oh, yeah. Yep. And those that say, well, I'm not afraid, well, they're just really, really double deep down into ignorance. And so maybe they need to hear nothing more than once. There's just one nothing, and that is you are not a human being living 70 on this earth. And Buddha just said the same thing. Whatever can be seen, heard, or touched is unreal. Whatever the mind can think is unreal. Why? Because it's all tainted. It's all polluted with some sense of right and wrong. All of it. And we spent a lot of time last night going over that, what that's all about. So if when I ask questions and you sort of freeze or you got to look at your notes, you know, about this, it's not really sinking in. So I challenge you to go back and listen to this. I've got to listen to it. A lot of what I'm saying has never been said before. It's not in my notes. Everything we're talking about right now is nothing's written down. Now, I've got notes, but I'm just free winging it this morning and telling you what I know the problem is. Why? Because I've experienced it. I'm not just getting up here trying to give you instructions on something that I haven't went through. This isn't about I'm awake and you're asleep. I'm saying everybody's asleep. I'm not being prejudiced. I'm saying we're all asleep with this. Everyone. It affects me. Okay? It's what's the difference? I know the difference now. And I'm not buying into it like I used to. That's all. I'm just not signing up as much. I don't get onto the sheet, you know, for the cookies at the Girl Scout retreat anymore, you know. I said, no, I understand what's going on now. I'll pass, right? I'm being a little facetious. You know what I mean, right? You can say whatever you want, whatever group you want. Everyone is sleeping. And we read last time, from Gerdhoff, he said, the modern man is asleep. Well, what are we asleep in? All the worry, all the fear. I mean, we want to go to sleep? You want to go snooze instantly in deep sleep? Just turn on World News. That is the peak of sleep.
Well, everything's going to hell, and it's the end of the world. And there's global warming. We've had the coldest winter we've ever had, but we got global warming.
Exactly. You know? So I'm not a for or against any of it. This is talking about withdrawing from the judgment of right and wrong in the world. That's what it's talking about. And I love George Carlin's take on it. He said, this world will spin us off like a half-dead gnat. We think we can fuck it up. You know, I loved his routine. It's just, and he's pretty fairly liberal, but he was just bashing the global warming people, which shocked me, you know. But it was funny. He was trying to be a comedian, right? It was just funny. There is nothing that needs to be fixed or repaired except your judgment of what you think's right or wrong. Amen. Now, how simple is that? Huh? All of us could be on the same page then. So, that's sort of what last night's lesson was about. Right? It's a good start. What does that mean? We still sit around, what do? We just talk about ourselves all the time. We still ain't getting it because we're just sitting around talking about what's going on with us. Well, I'm telling you right now, that's death, that's not life. Forget about yourself. Your body will take care of itself. This is why I love Robert Adams. This is why I love. All these things that have come to me that I've learned, I've started to read in other people's writings, and that's what shocks me. Because I'm thinking I'm really nuts. You know, I'm thinking I'm crazy. And then Jan McLaughlin from Ohio, little Jan, I wish she'd come up here. She's not that far away. Hello, Jan. Said, well, you got to read Robert Adams. Well, as soon as I started, I couldn't put him down, and I still haven't put him down. That was years ago. But between Robert Adams and Nisargadatta Maharaji, what they have written, I've gleaned nuggets from them. I'm not saying every word they've written is like a Bible, but there are some consistencies there that I'm finding between the two that's just unbelievable. They say all this stuff. They're saying it all in a different way. So, it's not anything new. What is it? Mike Nevins is crazy? Yeah. It sounds crazy. I'm not saying it doesn't sound crazy. Doesn't it sound crazy that he's saying everything is an illusion? Everything? That sounds pretty crazy to me. I mean, it's hard to believe. Why? It's not a belief. It's reality. It's unchangeable. And does everybody know Christina? Todd? Because I helped her get on Facebook back when she first started, and I tried to get her to connecting with all my friends. But she and I, she's in New Zealand.
Listening.
She's, of course, she's up at, she, yeah, we're going to hear from her. She just sent me a note last night. Mm-hmm. Says, we all thank Michael Nevins for the wonderful talk he gave this morning in New Zealand on the joy of freedom from the world we project. Here are some of my favorite quotes. Whatever the mind can think is unreal, Buddha. There is not a separate person trying to navigate a projected world you judge as right or wrong. God is your body. That's a really cool one. God's your body. When Robert Adams said that, it just floored me. I almost had to run to the bathroom. It just struck me. It just vibrated in me that it was one of the most correct things I've ever heard in my life. God is your body. God is your projection of yourself to the world. That's what God is. It is good. God is your projected self on the movie screen, judging everything. What? Reward and punishment, right and wrong? Duh. Sounds like the same thing to me. Huh? That's God. It isn't somebody sitting at a computer screen keeping track of you. Your projection you have of a perceived other is judgment of your own world. We are beyond the perception of the world body, world ego. World body. I didn't know I'd said that. She's quoting me, but I like it. That sounds pretty good. These are a few examples from this morning's message that nailed reality. I'll certainly be up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and tuning in again. Knowing we are here together expressing this reality is something I'm so grateful for, and I'm ever grateful for the pointers that Michael gives us. See you tomorrow at 5. Hello, Christina.
We love you in New Zealand.
Yeah, we were just talking about New Zealand. So she started emailing me. She wasn't on Facebook. So I have this other group that are YouTube followers, and I don't know who they are because you can say you like it, but it doesn't say who you are. But the people have to message me below the YouTube video, right? So I'll get, you know, two or three a month that said, I've been listening, and I try to get them connected on Facebook. But anyways, there's a lot more people out there listening than I know about, which is sort of crazy. But I've made some really good friends. So we're gonna close down Buddha and move on to today. Today we're going to talk about
our body.
Yeah.
Well, I knew the thing we started.
You are not your body. I think that sort of makes sense, doesn't it, a little bit? We sort of thought that there's going to be some kind of life screwed onto our miserable life someday.
That's why we go on living.
And we'll have a little ghosty body, maybe. It doesn't have to go potty, and it can eat everything and drink everything. Doesn't need to be pottied, maybe. That's an idea, isn't it? That's what I was thinking, you know. Jesus on the shore, and he never had to shit. Just eating some fish, you know. I mean, come on. Sort of everybody thought that a little bit, some version of that, didn't we? At some point? Right. Yeah, and you could pay your taxes without having to work. Anyway, the point is, there's something in us that tells us we're eternal.
Yeah.
There's some kind of clock or mechanism inside us that sort of tells us we're eternal. I have people all the time saying, well, Mike, am I going to have a body? And I just said, well, what difference does it make? What's our definition of a body? When we talked about when Billy Fingers was expressing his experience, obviously he was visible to his sister, but it was definitely in a different realm. It was in a realm where there weren't limitations. And there isn't a place called heaven or hell that people go to. That's all I'm telling you. It isn't like that. That's just what our concept is of stuff from this realm, okay? And they'll find out. Everybody's going to find out. You know, once your toe quits wiggling, first thing you're going to know is there's no such thing as death. You're thinking, man, my whole life I was afraid of death, of dying. The first thing you're going to know is there's nothing to it. And that's what Billy said. We take everything way too seriously. Why? Because we believe we're a body. Because we believe this is it. That's why. That's why this is so important. That's why it's so important. It's like your body's like a black cloud following you around. Woe is me. The world's coming to an end. Well, it has been. Maybe it's doing better. But there's still this sense, this feeling of doom. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, in November, we talked about something, and it's sort of like I'm publishing a correction in the newspaper, you know, from the last publication. And the way I understood it and the way everybody took it were two different things. So I want to bring some clarity to it. And what I said was that reality, well, what is reality? Well, we know it's not your body. But reality is always kind. Well, everybody running around saying, well, I'm going to try to be kind now. And that's not what it's talking about at all. It's not talking about an action you take. Reality is always kind when we stop judging it as right or wrong. Reality is always kind when we remove ourselves from the equation and realize nothing's stacked up against you. Nobody's trying to hurt you. You're not someone special. So God's given you an extra dose of attention or trouble or problems because you're so special. Because it's all about us. It's all about us and our body. This is the ego. And it's an illusion. Now, wouldn't that be terrible if you follow this illusion around your whole life and you never, ever knew any better? It's way, way, way more prominent than we want to admit. That's what we were talking about yesterday. When you're alone and you're sitting there staring out in the world, you're thinking about yourself. You almost can't help it. That's just sort of what the mind defaults to. Reality is always kind isn't talking about kindness. Isn't talking about you being nice. It's talking about there's nothing out of order. That whatever comes to you is meant. Whatever comes to you is reality. And it's not because you did something in some previous life. Or it isn't because you did something in this life. And that's why karma is just such rotten, awful bullshit. It's just the worst thing you could say to anybody. If you want to believe that stuff, just keep it to yourself. I got people out there, all of a sudden they think they're preachers. You know, they'll take what I'm sharing and stuff and mix it into their bullshit and come up with some convoluted crap. And I'm going, where in the world is this coming from? It's just coming from everybody's mind. It's just their own version, perverted version of the world. There's no purity to it at all. And it's just sort of disgusting. And it's not because I think I know what I'm doing. It's because I've found that I didn't know anything. And when that started to happen, I started to be taught something totally different than I knew. And I'm going, and it was probably, there was a time when there was probably 10 years of emptiness and being alone. That I didn't talk to anything. I didn't talk to anybody. We didn't fellowship with anyone about anything spiritual. And that went on for years. And finally, I sat up in my bed one night and said, we got to go look for some Walter Lanyon groups. I want to be connected again. And she missed it too, not being around the church or being around people. And I certainly don't miss all the bullshit that was there, but it was nice being connected. And so I found this Tony Den Hartog, in the middle of the night. I woke up like 2 a.m., found this Tony Den Hartog, and then I found, he said, well, I'm Emerald, Australia. And I thought, well, where's Emerald, Australia? I sort of knew where Australia was. So I verified, where it was. And I said, is there someone closer? But that's how I got connected to Tony, was through a search on Google. That's something? Because he was talking about Walter Lanyon. And here we are today. And Tony said that this would be happening. He said, something's going to happen in Jackson. I didn't, had no idea he was talking, had anything to do with me. But here we are. And I'm excited about this. Why? Because it's setting me free. I'm not depressed like I used to be. Because our expectations that we have of life make us depressed. Because we're never satisfied. And something's always wrong. And our mind keeps us glued to the world. Huh? Makes us emotional, causes stress, anxiety, uncertainty, anger, reaction. All this comes from the mind. It comes from the mind and its belief that you're a body. Consequently, it'd be wonderful if we just lost our mind. I mean, it's sort of sad news, but my mom's husband, not my father, has just got diagnosed with a pretty severe case of Alzheimer's. And that's not all bad. All of us could use that. We could certainly use a huge, huge case of amnesia, at least. Like total brain wipeout would be nice. If you had absolutely no history, you'd be free. If you had no memory of anything that happened 5 minutes ago, all the way back, you'd be free. Now, what does that tell you? What's that tell you? The mind is what is creating the problems. The mind's concept of right and wrong and its memory is creating the problems because you believe you're your body. Now, 2 weeks ago, I had this come over me. I had this real sensation that I wasn't my body. It really was overwhelming. I could feel it. And I just felt free. There was no fear. I mean, Diane and I have experienced some pretty serious issues over the last few years. Just as serious as anyone else. And I know what it is to be gripped in fear about that stuff. Yet at the same time, I really knew down deep inside that it wasn't true, but I couldn't escape it. I just couldn't get out of it. So I keep using this analogy because I think it'd be fun. If we could all just jump on a plane and go to a deserted island and wipe each other's memories out. We could sort of have a Mike Jones Kool-Aid drinking thing, you know? This will wipe your mind out. You'll still be here, okay? No worries. But it's just going to clear your mind. You know, we'll just sit around with we'll take a soccer ball named Wilson and we'll just sit around on an island and bust open coconuts and get naked on the beach. Huh? I'm game. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, though. Huh? How can you get to that place? Realize you don't have a history. You don't have a history. It's just all your memory. If you knew you weren't your body, you absolutely knew it without a doubt, just resonating through your whole consciousness, you would have absolutely no fear.
Yeah. Yay.
Nothing could hurt you. If you lost your mind, you'd be focused, you'd be at peace. All the thoughts about the world, your body, anything external to yourself would totally disappear. There'd no longer be a God who can punish you. If you're not your body, what's there to punish? There's nothing left. What are you going to do? Bring it up from the dead and fry it on a stick like a piece of bacon some more, make it a little stiffer? We believe that shit. Hello? We believe that. Disgusting. All of it's disgusting. All of it is history. All of it's unreal. This is what Buddha's talking about when he says all that. He's saying none of it's ever been real. Why do you believe it's real today? He's just bringing it into today. He's just saying it's all unreal. Right now, it's not real. It's sort of hard to let go of our history. That's sort of easy, especially when it's not been so good. Is it that far of a reach to really grasp what Buddha's saying and not think it's totally crazy? Not when we start to explain it and understand it a little better. It doesn't sound quite so far-fetched, does it? Because we're tracing the steps of it. So, if we lost our mind, there'd no longer be a God who punishes you. There'd no longer be karma who wants to get even with you. There'd no longer be a past. There would be absolute nothingness. Well, why don't we just call it a clear slate? Because our mind's offended by the word nothingness. How could I be nothingness? I'm something. Well, you're just not who you think you are, that's all. The something you are isn't anything you own. It isn't anything you have control over. It isn't anything that can be controlled. Who is it in charge of karma? Does anybody know? Huh? Is there a God? Is there like a karmic God? There'd have to be a bunch of them, wouldn't there, and a ton of computers. We definitely have to be using the grid upstairs on the satellites for all of this, wouldn't we? The cloud. Yeah. We have to use the damn cloud for sure, wouldn't we? Huh? Who's in charge of karma? What kind of bullshit, arrogant crap is that when somebody says, your karma from your past life is following you into today, and you better get the fuck your act together? What kind of crap is that? Where does that, what kind of twisted mind believes that kind of stuff? Huh? I'm sorry, I'm using the F-bomb, but it's pushing my button. Really? I mean, that's even just makes sense a little bit logically, that it just, who's watching it? Who's keeping track? I thought we'd quit believing in God. I mean, what do we call it?
The big computer in the sky.
Keeping tabs.
Keeping tabs. Yeah.
Like Santa Claus.
Exactly. The generations of the fathers go on to the next generation. For five generations, you'll be cursed. Well, that's what we might as well do. It's just as bad or worse than the Torah. Yeah. That's all coming out of the first five books of the Old Testament. We all thought the Old Testament was crazy a long time ago. At least I did. That's what Tony started saying. When I heard the teaching on law of attraction, and he said this God of reward and punishment in the Old Testament wasn't real, floored me. I'd never been so excited when I heard that. Now I'm finding out it's even better than that. There ain't nothing watching me. I mean, because if there's something watching this out there, he's really screwing up. And he ain't doing such a good job on the karma thing either. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's all failing anyway. Even if it were true, it's miserably failing. And I had to poke that in there. This afternoon, we're going to be talking about karma and reincarnation, so you'll probably hear the F-bomb again. Okay? Just in case. It's probably the first. I think it slipped out once. It slipped out once before today. You know, I let it slip out once.
I brought earplugs for everybody.
Oh, you want to plug my ears?
So when I use the term nothing, when I use the term nothingness, okay, I want it frightens some people, and it's frightening the ego. It isn't frightening who you really are. But when I use the term nothingness, I want to make it absolutely clear, because some people think if I'm nothingness, how can I function? I'll be a vegetable. But what I want you to say and understand is, we're talking about the body. We're talking about the body, not your real self. The person that's not the body, the person that's in between all the thoughts of right and wrong, that's you. The person that's laying there breathing healthy and at peace when you're sitting there sleeping, that's you. I have wonderful dreams. Sometimes they're weird. But I have wonderful dreams, and I know when I'm in my dream, it's a dream, and I'm just enjoying the hell out of it. I know now I can sort of influence them. I mean, if you know you're dreaming and you're in there, say, man, I'm going to take advantage of that. You know, I mean, I can drink all the drinks I want and not be drunk and not have a hangover. You know, it's sort of crazy. All I got to do is just wake up and the hangover's gone. It's just the opposite. Isn't that something? Your body is doing the thing it came to this earth to do, but it has absolutely nothing to do with you. That's what Robert Adams said. But because we think we're a body, all this crap about, see, I'm calming down now. Karma and a God and all this stuff all starts coming up. Everybody's so excited about who they are and worshiping their ego. And I thought we got over that a long, long time ago myself, but here out it comes again, you know. It keeps rearing its ugly head. So fear only comes to us when we think that the world is real. If the world proves to be an illusion, where's the fear? What in the world can upset you if you know that your projection of the world is a dream? What is it that could upset you? Well, the only thing people could say is, I don't like this or that. Well, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that going on. Everybody's got their version of what they don't like about the world. Now, if you're saying you don't, let's just get on your Facebook wall and see how far it takes us down your thread to see for something on there you're talking about you don't like. Whoops. It's all in writing. We think about this or that, you know. And some of the stuff's just crazy. It's just like, why are we still going to argue about these things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago? Really? So why are you here? What's all this about? And Robert Adams has given the best answer I've ever read. So maybe today is, I should call it the best of Robert Adams. Yeah. You know, maybe I should retitle it. I think I will. I think I'll do that. Are you hanging on? We didn't come here to straighten the world out. Whoops. We didn't come here to make peace. You are not here in order to wake up. You are here to awaken from the mortal dream. The dream of mortality. To wake up from the dream that you're a body that's been born and is going to die. If we could just deal with that and block out everything else and just realize that you were never born and you're never going to die. And I mean, Tony said that when I first met him. Joel Goldsmith has said it. Walter Lanyon said it. We've heard that in our circles for 20 years. We don't believe it. Why? Because we believe we're a body. That's why we believe this is it. So we go to the doctor and he gives us some bad news. We're in fear. Yeah. So that's the only reason we're here. It isn't about awakening. It's about recognizing the lie. That you're not a body-mind struggling through this world. Waking up from the dream of mortality. That's the only reason. Then you could enjoy everything that comes to you. You could just be at peace. You could know nothing could hurt you. Well, people think I'm crazy, and I finally sort of announced this, but I'm studying to be a pilot. I made it sort of public last week. I've been taking flying lessons. She thinks I'm nuts because I quit doing fireworks. Now I got to make sure I'm doing something dangerous. I can't let go of the fireworks. I got to do something else now. So I'm overflying this little airplane that you could sort of, I mean, I guess it could crash. But do you think when I go up in the airplane, I think I'm going to crash? No, I don't think that. I think I'm going to have fun. And if the engine quits running, you can actually float with this one a little ways, you know. Probably land in the Kmart parking lot or something. So just don't go flying over Lake Michigan. But I'm having a ball. Why? Because I'm not afraid. There isn't any fear in it. And we're not talking about being reckless. It doesn't mean I'm going up there and trying to dive bomb and see how close I can get to the ground before crashing. I'm just enjoying myself. Wouldn't you like to just enjoy yourself for a whole week and not have any concerns about yourself or the world? Nobody's done it. Sorry. No one's done it. So don't talk to me about how successful you are, because you haven't made it through the day. Hello? All you got to do is know the difference. This isn't about a set of rules. This isn't about coming up with a new Ten Commandments. It's just talking about living in reality, knowing that you are eternal. The real you isn't what you think you are. It's all I can tell you is Billy Fingers just give us a little glimpse of it. And I didn't go looking for Billy Fingers. He come looking for me. That's why I trust it. I was reading on somebody's site clear over in Australia, and all of a sudden he quoted from Billy Fingers, and I thought, that is really good. Who the hell's Billy Fingers? And so I got the book and read the whole book. And I don't agree with all of it, but 80% of it was really good. And it made a lot of sense, you know, that the first thing he said when he started talking to his sister was, everybody takes life way too seriously. Well, isn't that what Buddha was saying? How you're seeing the world isn't real? You're taking it too serious? Well, if you're complaining about something, you're taking it way too serious. If you're sitting around when somebody comes over to see you and all you got to talk about is you, you're taking life way too serious. As long as you believe you're a body, it's impossible to have peace, to have happiness. And why is that? Because the concept of body-mind is part of this world conditioning. It's all connected to this that we see out here. I can drive to the grocery store and back and be at peace and enjoy myself. That's a good start. It wouldn't have been too long ago that I'd have been driving like crazy and probably flipped somebody off and, you know, got upset about something. You know, maybe about 10 years ago, I sort of quit doing that. So I got to get rid of my fast cars. I need to get me a moped that's electric. So I got these fast cars and I really can't drive them like I'd like to, because then I'd be getting wild and crazy. So I have to go out on a back road. But just practice going and doing something and just being free without any judgment and see how you like it. So you say, you know what? I think I liked that. I think that was sort of fun. Just going to the damn grocery store was fun. Then maybe you could go a little farther next time, right? Go a little farther. Maybe you, I know one thing I tell my wife when I get her away from the house, I really enjoy being with her because she don't fuss. When we're here, she's always fussing about stuff, you know, and taking care of Buster and running around, and she worries a lot more. We went to Argentina and back for 3 weeks, and it was wonderful. We had the best time. There's nothing to fuss about. We were being taken care of, and we saw some beautiful things. And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Just free of judgment. Just leaving all the world behind. Well, what's the world? It's your concept of it. It isn't what this is out here. It's not what somebody else's world is. People say, well, you don't have compassion. You need to have compassion. I have no compassion for hell. Okay? I have no compassion for your hell at all. I could give a rat's ass about your hell. Okay? I just want to escape my own. People say, well, that's selfish. Well, how can I help you if I'm running around tormented all the time by my hell? Right. Then I jump into your hell and it becomes a world war. Yeah. True. Huh? Yeah. That's what happens. It just gets bigger and bigger, and finally there's a bomb. people say, well, I think we went too far with that, so maybe we better back off. Just living from one crisis to the next, that's not living, you know, and I don't want anything to do with it. So another reason that what Buddha was saying is true is understanding that what we're seeing that's changing isn't reality. Things change. The environments change, conditions change, the family changes, everything changes. Well, who are you? Are you what you were when you were a little baby? Is that you? Kindergarten? Is that the you? Which body are you going to have when you leave here? Do we get to pick? Huh? I was pretty hunky when I was 24. I was pouring concrete for a living, and I had a six-pack. I think that's who I'll be. I'll be Mr. Hunky Bunky, 24. Okay? How about that? Really? Well, obviously Billy Fingers was aware of himself, but it was certainly different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like this. He didn't seem to, he never talked about it. He didn't seem too concerned about it. So I don't know if he needed to use the bathroom or not. You know, I couldn't tell you that. So it's impossible to have peace and happiness as long as you believe you are a body. Now, if that's all you remember, that's why I keep asking everybody. I am not my body. If we just could remember that, what's all attached to that? If that stuff could start to be unraveled a little bit, guess what? You'd find some peace and contentment. Mm-hmm. Nothing could harm you. You would know that. So I'm going to read some of what Robert wrote here. So, consequently, when we believe we're a body, we begin a search for peace and happiness. That's a mistake, he says. What we do is become our real selves by not trying to become our real selves. That sounds like nonsense and double talk, really. We become our real selves by trying not to become our real selves. That silly sounding? Yeah, that sounds silly. We become our real selves just by simply withdrawing from the fight. Just withdraw. Withdrawing from the world. And our judgment of the world. It's that simple. We're just withdrawing. And I'm not trying to preach out of the Bible, but Jesus talked about this a lot. He said, I'm going to leave my world. Well, we got to define what your world is. Just write down all the things. Go back and look at your Facebook page for the last year. Write down all the things where you were complaining about somebody. Wow, I guess my world's a little bigger than I thought it was. But you thought it's okay, so you don't think it's complaining. Because it's your version of the world. You know, if you want me to go through this exercise with you, I can help you. I know how to pick it out, okay? Believe me. I'd say, well, this one's probably a bad one here. This one's probably complaining here. What do you think of that? Is that producing joy? Nope. How about this one? Let's just mark them. Which one produces joy? And we'll see how many survive. Not too many survive. There's your issue right there. How are you viewing the world? Are you really following your mind around? Telling everybody what the version should be? So you end up with political parties, then you end up with divided countries, and you end up with wars. That's where all of it comes from. That's why we can't get along. So we're just, this whole thing is about withdrawing. This whole thing is about just recognizing, what is it that we speak every day that's speaking life into situations, and what's speaking death into them? Is it producing peace and joy? And we're just withdrawing from that. We're just pulling back from it. That's how simple all this is. It's just saying, you know what? That isn't really encouraging me or anyone else. And just question it. Just question it. Say, you know, is that really what life's about? And you know the answer. So just begin to question your mind. Okay? Well, who is it that questions your mind? The real you. We'll call it your heart. I think it's smarter than the brain. You know? And I think one thing religion has done, and one thing we don't want to do, is we're not trying to exchange bad for good or good for bad. That's just the same side of the wrong tree. You know, there's a tree of life, and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life doesn't have good or evil. And I did a lesson, probably 6-7 years ago, about the tree of the knowledge of good is the harder to see than the one of evil. Mm-hmm. But we're still going around trying to stamp out our evil that we see in the world. We still haven't got to the get rid of the good yet. We're still trying to get rid of the evil. Mm-hmm. That's sort of embarrassing. Still up to that? We're still up to that? Is that really what it's about? So what am I trying to show you? Is you cannot depend on anything in this world for your happiness or peace. Whatever it is in this world that makes you happy, it's only temporary. And that's what Buddha was saying. Everything you see is temporary. We have to let go of it. That's why he called it an illusion. Because it's not constant. It's not steady. It's not the same. Which means it isn't reality.
Yep.
Okay?
Like TV.
We've defined it. Don't get so upset about the word illusion. We have people on... I stirred up a hornet's nest a week ago, and boy, some people that used to listen to me come out, I can't listen to that shit anymore. So he said, we're nothing. You know, I'm not nothing. Well, I didn't stop there. So I'm trying to explain that a little more. You're real, but you don't own it. You have no control. You have no say. Where do all the thoughts come from? You really think you're coming up with that stuff? You kidding me? There's no way. Thinking you have control over anything is an illusion. You have absolutely no control. He didn't sit there before he came to this world and decide what he was going to look like today. Well, Big Balls Shafter? Yeah, Big Balls Shafter. He got the award, man. He's the stud. I gave him these diamond-plated balls for his 80th birthday. Because he rides motorcycles for thousands of miles without stopping to pee. That's a man, I'm telling you. Huh? I know. That's what I'm saying. Thank you. He's my hero, too. But I can't do it, so I flunk. There's nothing missing and no need to find anything. When the dream ends, No one wakes up. The dream was the dreamer's only reality. When it ends, there's no one left. That sounds like freedom to me. Wow. You are not your body. Now, Mr. Robert Adams, if you study him from beginning to end, and I can't say I've read everything he's written, okay, but I've read a lot of it and I've listened to all of his recordings that are available many times. I just play him because I go walking on the track up there a lot to get some exercise in, and I'm playing him over and over and over again, just trying to glean something from it, something like your God's your body. That's like the number one thing I got from Robert Adams. If everybody asked me, what's the one thing you liked about Robert? God is your body. That's the one thing that just keeps following me around, you know, it just floors me. Why? Because I thought, oh my gosh, he's hit it right on the head. This is the issue. Everybody's worshiping their body. Everybody thinks this is me. He says, once you realize you're not your body, doesn't that dissolve all the craziness and talk about reincarnation? Yeah. Yeah. That sort of ends it, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah, if you're not your body, what is it that can reincarnate? Nothing. That's right. It's so far beyond all this crazy bullshit that we come up with. That's all I'm telling you. I don't understand it all. I haven't went on the other side and can come back and just give it to you, textbook perfect of what it feels like. But I can tell you, it doesn't feel like this. It's free. And I'm starting to begin to understand what it feels like. I'm starting to. And I know enough about it so I can share it with you. Well, at least the only people that believe in reincarnation are just egocentric, crazy people. It's the only thing I can say. They're just all about them. I know somebody told me I was this and that in the past, and I'm going, well, good luck with that. How'd that turn out? You know? Just want a name for themselves. It's just crazy. Just craziness. It's just all coming. It's just all crazy metal cognition. Just trying to magnify the dream, you know, of life and death. It's all about cycling of life and death over and over. And maybe someday you'll creep into something where you've attained, and then you'll finally get awarded the certificate that gets you out of the cycle of life and death. Maybe someday. But I mean, someone would talk about that it would have to have happened thousands of times. Yeah. I was told that if I was prejudiced towards a black person, I would need to come back as a black person until that was gone. And I didn't say anything about anybody that was black. That didn't even come up. That's just turned right at me. It's like, well, wow, what'd I do, you know? I hadn't said nothing, actually. Because in these meetings, you really couldn't talk anyway. It was just like, so apparently she has problems with it, so maybe she'll have to come back, right? Maybe that was her problem. Maybe that's why it came out. Yeah. Yeah, racists talk about racism. You don't want how to end it all? Quit talking about it. Forget about it. You're not your body. This has nothing to do with the color of someone's skin. How lame can we be? We're talking about the whole damn body here. We're not talking about pigmentation. Hello? Everybody ought to love this. Talking about not being prejudiced. I'm saying you're not your body. I'm saying that to everyone. Doesn't matter what you look like or what your sex is. And it puts everybody in the same pot. You are not your body. Well, go around and say that to yourself when you get upset or you're concerned about something. Say that to yourself. I hope you hear my voice again. You are not your body. You are not your body. I hope you hear it. I hope it calms you down. But I mean, I had this feeling when it came, and it was so freeing. It was like, well, wow, what do I have to be afraid of? That's the feeling I had. It was a good feeling. Yeah. Every sage, every Eastern mystic I know of has said what I'm telling you. This isn't Mike Nevins talking. Now, I heard it way before I started studying the Eastern sages, but now I know the people I was listening to, I know where they heard it. I'm not speaking an original word here. This isn't, oh, the great Nevins is speaking. I'm just sharing you what I'm experiencing in my life that's setting me free, and I want you to be free. That's all. And there's a lot of people out there that like that. They feel it. They just like being free. That's all. They like that feeling of feeling freedom and being set free from themselves. That's the only attraction here. Because half of them I'm pissing off. At least. So if it's about getting numbers, it isn't working so good. And we aren't getting much money. So it can't be about money. We get about 40, 50 bucks a year. Somebody will squeak a 20 in now and then. So it's not about collecting money. So that part ain't working. I ain't selling books or crystals or jewelry. So it's not about business. Trust no one that talks about the ego as a helpmate. Trust no one that talks about karma and reincarnation. Don't trust it. Go the other direction. If you want some guidance, please just let me know. Private message me. I'll be glad to put you on the right track with some things that can help you see it for yourself. You don't have to listen to me. Okay? I'll be glad to. I do it all the time. All the time. I want to just say a little bit about the non-duality speakers. I don't really talk about them very much because to me it's a very private thing. And it's probably really in some senses the best truth I've ever heard, but it's not something that should be repeated. That's how personal it is. And a lot of the non-duality people have went too far. And I call it doubling down on nothing. And they've really moved away from their first love. So I want to quote what one of them said, just for kicks, okay? This is all about nothing, which is covered over by the experience that this is about something. Which is a pretty dissatisfying experience, trying to find a something that is about nothing. And it's not about anything, it is completely empty. What is completely empty includes a seeming nothingness. It's about something, so everything that is appearing, that everything that is not misplaced as everything. It's just empty. It's not about really anything.
It sounds like George Carlin's talking.
Okay? Now, I'm saying it a little fast, but I'm quoting verbatim from a guy. Wow. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you just be quiet? Huh? Why make it so complicated? This isn't complicated. How can all of you say you're not your body? Huh? You're not your body. Can everybody say that? How simple is that? So now, just Ask yourself, what does that mean? If I'm not my body, what does that mean? That's all I'm saying. How simple is that? Why is that so hard? Why do we got to spend a whole weekend going over that? What's going on? Ask yourself that. Why is this so hard? Isn't that a good one? Why is it so hard to realize we're not our body? It's got to be more than just a mental cognition. It's got to be more than acknowledgement. You got to start asking yourself questions.
Yep. Exactly.
And then just shut up and listen. Why is it so important for me to realize I'm not my body? We just talked about that last night and today. Because you won't be in fear anymore. You could maybe be at peace. We get feeling too good. What we do then is just bitch about everybody else's body. What they're doing. So that's just arrogance. That's the flip side of fear, is arrogance. You won't have much to bitch about if you're laying in the hospital bed with a tube down your throat. Barely blinking your eyes, okay? There won't be any much to bitch about then. So wake up to the fact that this is not reality. What we're projecting is not reality. There's nothing wrong with that tree out there. I go out and say, well, that tree is an illusion. Well, I'm going out. You go out there and hit your head on it, it'll hurt. That's not what I'm talking about. Let's not be stupid. Saying that that's right or wrong, or whether it lives or dies, is the illusion. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You deciding and playing the role of God, or whether that's right or wrong, or what anybody else does is right or wrong, that's the illusion we're talking about. That is the illusion. So what's the truth we're talking about this morning? What does it mean to you to realize you're not your body? What does it mean to you to realize that nothing can harm you? That there's nothing to be afraid of? What would that mean? What would that look like? That's just a great starting point, okay? So what are you doing where you're just sitting around and talking about everything that's happening to your body all the time? You're just feeding the dream. You're just blowing the dream up. You're just making it bigger. Really? Is that really encouraging people? It's not even encouraging yourself. But we can't get over ourselves. We're just stuck on ourselves. Just be quiet. I remember when Liz was going, when she was really, really sick, or she's not with us anymore, she just come to me and just almost bawling and saying, Mike, I'm just getting so sick of talking about what's wrong with me. Everybody goes, well, how you doing? Tell me what's going on. And I said, well, just turn it around and ask them how they're doing. As soon as they ask you, just say, well, how are you doing? They sort of get the point, I don't want to talk about it. But it just wore her out, and it makes sense now. But some people can't get over themselves. That's all they want to talk about, is what's going on with them. Just try being still. Just getting by yourself and ask these questions I'm talking about. What does it mean to you to realize you're not your body? Just get alone and go over some of that. See what that does. Anybody, any of you know Gary's sister? Gary Sigler's sister? Johanna Wolfel? I want to share with you just a small dialogue I had with her. Mike, I see and understand what you've shared here, but how to get to the place of transformation? I know not how. I'm 86 years old. I've been asleep a long time. How does one wake up oneself? I've come to realize I'm not who I seem to be. I know I'm not this body, but little experience of who I truly am. I do wait in silence and hope for the light to shine. What is my problem? Wow. That's pretty honest, isn't it? She said that to me in an open forum. She didn't even private message me. She just wrote that to everyone to read on Facebook. Now talk about honesty. Huh? Talk about somebody who doesn't have an ego. She just said, I'm really effed up. Help. I said, transformation can be the wrong word at times. It is really a deprogramming that takes place. The problem is that we are looking for something that does not exist. Our version of what the light is bent towards results instead of the reality of now and its fullness. Nothing is out of order means there's no place where love is not complete and full. Once we withdraw from our desire for something more and the judgment of this, spontaneous life kicks in and we realize that each and every moment is ordained in fullness and rest. It is only our corporeal programming that keeps us in the dark. You are complete and lacking nothing, but you will never see it until you realize you are already there. Stop looking and it will come to you. Now, this was a few months ago, but I've sort of been saying that same thing all this whole weekend so far. The expectations, the ideas that something should change or something should get better is all coming from our projection of the world. So I want to close with the poem that Dana wrote. She was supposed to be with us this weekend, but she was sort of under the weather and didn't feel like she wanted to come this time. So she might be at our next retreat. When I first asked her if she wanted to share, she says, I said, you got something to share? What do you mean? She says, I can't shut up. So she's not too afraid of speaking. Because I've asked a couple others at times to speak, and they have never took me up on it. So, but anyways, we're going to close with her poem. What is the purpose and the meaning of what is thought to be life? Battling to make sense of all the judgment and the strife. Seeking to find a purpose just brings more suffering and more pain. The struggles for deliverance and vindication all end up in vain. Looking to this world can never satisfy on any level, nor can casting down demons or exorcising any devil. Any meaning to this life sought in this world will never ever be found. Life, the unending run of the hamster as the wheel goes round and round. When each moment appears, it is not as if it was expected to be. The questioning comes on why this is happening to me. The mind spins its web, and it's quick with a defense, full of ideas and explanations that make perfect sense.
That's so good.
Leave the world of the mind and all its promises and desires. Spontaneous life needs nothing to be complete. It has no need to acquire. It's far beyond this realm of appearance and of thought. Not a tradition to be handed down or a belief system to be taught. Nothing's out of order in the truth of who you really are. In the resting place of silence, free from the mind's desire. Unconditional love, terminating the mind's frantic quest. All that is left is the place of peace and rest. Now she wrote that 2 months ago.
Wow.
And we had no idea what the lesson was going to be about.
Is that on Facebook?
No, it's never been written before. She shared it with me privately. This is the first time it's been written.
But she wrote it 2 months ago.
She wrote it 2 months ago and sent it to me. to use when I chose.
Are you going to print it on it? Are you going to post it?
Yeah, I'll post it.
Oh, good, because that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Because she usually write a poem for every retreat, and when I read it at the retreat, it's the first time that it's read.
Yeah, wow.
But all of her poems she's written are up on Gary's website.
All of them are Gary's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Everybody, we'll see you this afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.